Blog Talk Radio. I don't know. If I were to close this tonight at this moment, I wouldn't regret it, I don't think, because sometimes I just lose perspective on things, and tonight seems to be one of those nights. As much as I appreciate I feel the need sometimes to just pull back urge or the need or the push to extend myself a little further. And I do that four nights a week on average. And, you know, I'm proud today because I, a good friend of mine, Rob Bregman, finished creating my website, my new website, thelasteelshow.org. And I recommend everybody go see that site, lasteelshow.org. It's not the same as the old one. It's a new one. It's better, older, has more gadgets to it, and more fun to watch and look. But I spend a good part of the day working on that site because it just went up today, putting new articles in. But I've yet to understand the meaning of things. Why certain things happen the way they do. Why we pursue what we pursue. And I don't know. I'm babbling here tonight, so I'm going to try to finish up this this work tonight and see if we can do that. I've skipped a lot of spaces, a lot of things. So be it. You know, I'm hoping that you will go to the Agni Yoga series. Look up the book of Morning's Garden. Check out book two. Check out book one. Check out all the 13 books in the series. But part three, fifth chapter of the Illumination is where I want to start tonight. And hopefully finish. You will be asked, how can you refer to a creator whom you do not know? Reply, historically and scientifically we know that great teachers who have created the quality of our consciousness. In recognizing the influence of the ideology of the teachers, are you not restricting your freedom? Reply, the quality of freedom is remarkable. If freedom exists in all, nothing can limit it. Body can be shackled, but nothing but diminish consciousness except ugliness. Reply, the quality of freedom is remarkable. If freedom exists, when we touch upon the heights of freedom, we must guard against ugliness. If we wish to exalt matter, we must think wisely about beauty. In beauty will infinitely be manifested. In beauty, the teaching of the seekers of the spirit are illuminated. In beauty, we do not fear to manifest the truth of freedom. In beauty, do we kindle radiance in every drop of water. In beauty, do we transform matter into a rainbow. There is no ugliness which will not be engulfed in the rays of the rainbow. There are no fetters which will not disintegrate in the freedom of beauty. And how shall we find the words to approach the concept of the universe? How shall we tell about the evolution of form? How do we uplift the consciousness to the study of fundamentals? How to stimulate humanity to scientific cognitions of the world? Each realization is born in beauty. Know how to think radiantly, and nothing terrifying will touch you. Remember, we have no forbiddances. The It has been said that he who speaks against the Spirit shows himself ignorant, and that blasphemy against the Spirit is the worst of all. Things have been spoken about, but to whom can this explicable concept be applied? Those who perform miracles will be learned magicians. Those who keep their lives in purity will be practical people. And only those who have consciously renounced all the personal and who have transported their consciousness into a conception of world evolution can be called saints in our understanding. It is imperative that this process be accomplished consciously outside of fortuitous external conditions. It is impossible to forcibly implant religion anew. It would be but a sacrilegious monstrosity. The way to renounce the ugliness of life will prompt the spirit to the truthful quests. And the obviousness of the interrelation of the world will compel one to ponder scientifically. This ineffable thought is the beginning of spiritual discipline. These quests, void of the personal element, awaken the reflex of the action. This is called achievement. It is better, in general, to replace the word saint with the absolute definite term achiever, and the manifestation of achievement in life is in ceasing without hypocrisy. We will be able thus to proclaim its evident manifestations. Life's achievement must be performed by human hands. A prophet is a man who possesses spiritual foresight. Just as on the physical plane there is a nearsightedness and farsightedness, I simply must not understand the quality of farsightedness of the spirit. It would be absolutely the height of ignorance to deny all prophecies. It would be completely stupid to condemn the prophets. If we scientifically and partially examine prophecies which have changed to be preserved, what do we see? We find people who, disregarding personal advantage or disadvantage, appeared into a forthcoming page of history, were terrified and forewarned the people. Among known prophecies, one does not find selfish intentions. One does not find a criminal self-interest. One does not find slander. The symbol of visions are tinted because of the distance and difference in space and time. When will scholars find time to investigate prophecies scientifically? To make historical comparisons. It would be a fine book for a young scientist to write. That's interesting. Yes, friends, it is time to learn to approach obvious manifestations culturally. Otherwise, future attainments will be to men what electrons are to cradled infants. Your uniforms and yoga and togas do not you will ask who determined your rankings and denominations. Early you would be horrified to see the forefathers of your contentment. Dwarfs of cupidity attempt to screen the giants of the common wheel. Radiance of a new world does not penetrate into your burrow. Let a whirlwind sweep away the roots which shroud the dawn. Can it be so very difficult for you to understand the meaning of astrology? make an experiment. Suppose you take four organisms, a plant, a fish, a bird, and an animal. Let us say a lily, a carp, a dove, and a dog. Provide seven specimens of each, and for each group, construct a place deprived of daylight and saturated with a colored electric light. The glass should be of various colors, conforming as closely as possible to the colors of the rainbow. At night, you should merely reduce the amount of light. Thus, you may observe them for about 4 months. At the end of this time, even a blind man will grasp the difference in results, because there will be lacking the principal factor of the stellar ray, namely its chemical composition. It is impossible to ignore the importance of the physical influence of the planetary bodies. The attention and expectations of humanity must be turned to the far-off worlds. Hence, everything pertaining to this subject must be studied without prejudices, since exact knowledge is needed. Astronomy is strikingly applicable. Can it be so very... It is impossible to issue decrees, to make promises, and to intimidate, but only understanding impels. What could replace the understanding of applicability? People will say, how beautiful, how powerful, how sublime. But all these outbursts are like will-o'-the-wisps over a marsh and are extinguished as easily as they are generated. Pure but superficial thoughts are like multicolored dust particles. The first winds carry them away into space, and the value of such particles is negligible. We appreciate a thought which has engendered a decision. Decision is valued according to its applicability. Applicability is judged by spirit knowledge, and then an action results at which one may rejoice. And whoever rejoices has faith also, and even faith must be well grounded. Thus can the teaching live. We compute well, we apply well. If you are accused of economy, you do not reject this either. For economy is opposed to madness, and madness is opposed to spirit knowledge. But whatever circle of reasoning we choose, we shall eventually, inevitably, return to the great knowledge of the spirit. I do not vaguely feel, I know. Not superstition, but certainty. When we are filled with immutability, it is as if we have contacted the magnet of the planet, and we stand steadfast. I don't know if I'm going too fast here, or if people are understanding this. I'm not even sure if I do. Because so many thoughts are so fleeting. We think of things and they're gone, and forget about them. Man has thousands and thousands of hundreds of thousands of thoughts every day. But only the thoughts that he has solidified his mind. And anchored into experience. Does he then create a reality with those thoughts? I think of these things because when things come together, when things are created, or when things are accomplished, it's almost miraculous, because it just seems that everything is pooled together in synchronicity, and for some reason, it suddenly manifests whatever that Maybe. I don't know why. And how much happier would we be if we were able to manifest each thought? Then we would be much more selective in our thinking. Eventually, we would possibly wish for a benefit to mankind, a complete benefit, so that others might not feel sorrow or harm or pain, so that others might live and exist within an element of divine caring and compassion. That would be wonderful. But yet, though we can perhaps do that in our personal lives, it's almost, it seems impossible to promote that in our public lives, because the cynicism is so rampant, the disbelief is so rampant. But the need is so great. Remember an interesting experiment that was done by Saul Alinsky, and he was, he would train activists, and this one I remember so well because he wrote about it in Rules for Radicals, but he also it was also done on a video movie that I saw of Saul Alinsky. And he stated that it's easier to get a dollar from somebody than it is to give a dollar to somebody. That's very strange. It was a very strange experiment. So he gave $10 bills to his students. He said, "Here, go out and go down the street in New York and try to give away this $10 bill and see how many of you are successful at doing that. And if you do, then please tell me what your response was and why they took it." So those people went down the street, okay, and stopped to everybody and said, "Here, I have $10. I'd like to give to you. Here, I'd like to give you $10. Would you like to have $10? I have $10. I'd like to give to you." And every single one of those people refused. People said, "Well, why would you refuse a $10 bill? That somebody was willing to give you." And the reason for that is everybody thought, well, there must be some kind of, why are you giving me $10? There must be some hit to this. You want sex, or you want some kind of favor, or what? Why would you give me $10, right? For nothing. And every one of those students brought back the $10 bill after half an hour or so. They were totally frustrated. They couldn't believe that nobody would take the $10 bill. And that proved Alinsky's point, that for some reason, people will sooner give away their money than to take money without reason. That's not everybody. You have thieves, you have people that will take money that doesn't belong to them. But if you actually offered them $10, they would look at it and say, "No, I don't think so. There's something wrong here." Because it's not the normal human nature to give somebody something, without expecting something in return. And those people who are astute to cosmic events not realize that, for every time you take something, you have to give something. You know, that's just the way it is. And that's why nobody could give away the $10 bill. However, I must say, if anybody was just offering me $10 on the street, I'd happily take it. Why not? I'd ask them, any strings attached? They'd say, no, just take the 10. Enjoy yourself. I would definitely do that. Now, the reason I would do that is because, you know, why not? Trust an individual who wants to give you $10, $20, $100, $200, whatever they want to give you, $1 million, you know, and say thank you very much. I'll be happy to take it. Yeah. But I'm digressing here, and I didn't mean to. Avoid uniformity as both place and work. Actually, uniformity accompanies that greatest fallacy in the concept of personal ownership. First of all, the slave of property loses nobility, mobility of spirit. Such a slave ceases to understand that each day of labor should be tinged with a special quality of the spirit. He cannot change place because his spirit will be permanently fixed in the earthly home. Ask yourself, is it easy for you to move to another place? Is it easy for you to change the nature of your work? If it is, this means that you can appreciate the value of the common good. If each journey forces you to write your last will and testament, and a change of your work makes you unhappy, it means that a remedy must be taken. Most dangerous journeys should be prescribed, and changes in the way of most diverse work should be assigned. This will develop courage and resourcefulness, because the primary cause of the defect is fear. The embryo of proprietorship is also fear. The feeling that one must be attached to the earth, at least by something. As if a miserable hovel could be an adequate anchor to the spirit. As if a heap of personal belongings could protect one from the lightning. Periodically, the injurious playthings of ownership have been taken away from humanity. But again, fear, the father of lies, spins the cobweb, and again, terrors are concocted. Therefore, let us abolish fear. Will it will depart property ownership and boredom, and how much new health there is in diversity of place and order. And I guess I can understand that. I think of the four communities in Alabama right now, that 300 homes that were just destroyed by tornado. I mean, what did these poor people do to deserve such a fate? Nothing other than live in a path of a tornado that had never gone there before. So it's no different than, you know, I sitting here tonight and, you know, safe and warm. And all of a sudden, in a minute now, the house, the roof blows off, you know, and all devastation occurs. And you suddenly go from a standard of health and wealth and being to nothing overnight. Boom. Simply by the court, by the force of nature, the will of nature. And why did they choose you? why your area, why your 300 homes, or your neighbors, why? Or some other area, some, who knows where, you know? But when you're faced with these situational conditions each day in our lives, and not everybody, of course, has these catastrophic illnesses that happen. But when we do, we so often face them not so much in the most real way, more so in a tarnished way, or in a yellowed haze, patriotic jingle, you know, in a it's just that without the proper mechanisms in place, alarms, if you will, individuals, we're doomed to repeat ourselves again and again and again and again forever. It is a hell that young women and young men must become united in order to propagate the society of humans. They must generate a child before they even understand their own existence. It's quite unfortunate. Yet there are millions and billions, or 7 billion people on the planet. So this contraception doesn't really work. Religious abstinence doesn't really work at all. Nor does anything else these people say in the context of education. And I'll leave it at that. Wish I knew where I was headed tonight on this. I have a tendency to go into a tangent, but I believe I'm on the right track. Under the Constitution of the United States, Bill of Rights, they stated that they should have no authority over the state. Why should the state have any authority over us? Right? And with that, I'm rather satisfied that there is no rebellion, if you will, you know, in the church. But I can only examine it based on certain details by a very few number of clients. Nirvana is the quality of assimilation of all actions. The saturation of all inclusiveness brings you to the true knowledge. Flowing from the tremor of illumination, languages have no more precise definition of this process. Quietude is only an external aspect, and quietude does not express the essence or the essential nature of the condition. Buddha mentioned quietude, but only this external aspect was assimilated by his listeners. For to the people who heard him, the idea of rest was very attractive. Action as something meritorious is too little understood. You like scientific instruction, so do we. If you have heard the theory of Wordle particle of rings, theory of waves, of magnetism, of attraction and repulsion, then you must realize that there exist on Earth places of very diverse significance. Even dull-witted heads have pondered over the strange fate of many cities. The combination of a physicist, an astrochemist, a biologist, and an astrologer would yield to the best answer without any mysticism. And the construction of large cities ought to be consciously planned. Less significant of all contemporary politics, because the concept lacks scientific basis and beauty. Gauging the requirements of a future city, we must not mislead by an apparent must not be misled by apparently broad concept. A trifle is often more indicative. Also, in selecting co-workers, pay attention to details during small actions. Determining the essential nature of a man through the pupil of his eye, we surround him with habits of small actions. Least of all, attach significance to the words. They are as following. Waters. Small actions which saturate the whole life best denote the nature of a man. From them grow the large ones. We do not place much trust in chance achievements. Here one can accomplish a deed of courage. Conscious actions are necessary. They alone lead to nirvana. Let us imagine a man imbued with the thought that his two eyes see differently. Of course, he will be right. But by this very thought, he will ruin his eyesight. Coordination of reflexes is different, but it alone assures successful operation of the apparatus. The device between the eyes is what gives perception to the thing seen. Just so can two different truths coalesce in a healthy organism. A man who is obsessed with the thought about different truths is like the man who ponders about the difference of his eyes. He loses perspective of concepts, of conception. And I like that analogy because it's so true. In our both eyes, two eyes, we both see differently. We see different things. One eye sees differently than the other. We may make out the same concept, but we don't have the same depth. If anybody's ever been laid up with an eye injury, which I have, and you have a patch over your eye and you can't see out, it really affects your balance. It affects your vision, of course. And you dare not drive if it's due to impaired vision. But people do, you know. And outside the window, sounded a call. One worker ignored it with, "Don't disturb me, I'm busy." Another promised to come, but forgot. A third came after his work was finished. The place was already empty. A fourth was set a tremble at the call, and putting aside his tools, went forth at once with, "Here I am." This is called the tremor of sensitiveness. And only this tremor, lit by the consciousness day and night, leads to spirit knowledge. Over and above the reason, the gates are opened by a tremor, which is even audible to human apparatus. If you you are unable to suppress within yourself this tremor of sensitiveness, good sensitiveness, good for you. And you are not reluctant to mention this. I am hesitant in the sense that I want it to be understood by those listening that what is known as auditory hallucinations I prefer to say are auditory holograms. They're not hallucinations. Hallucination is something you dream up, something you imagine, but a message from a hierarchy. The hierarchy is something that can't be so denied, because it's not that it's harmful, it's just that it's a heavy blanket, basically, that heats up the body. Once you accept it, this wisdom and say, oh my God, this is a cow, you know, how can I slaughter it for, you know, how can I, this is a dog or a cat or a human, how can I harm this, how can I do harm to this person? Yeah, you know, in the pursuit of greed, this character I have posted, character that I have linked is called John Grayson. Right? And if you look up that character, you see that he's stuck in a very particular position with a wife and a mistress and $100 million or more. An estimated number of wealth of his family. So when she AFRCA I don't know why I brought that up. Let us imagine a man imbued with the thought that he has two eyes that are different. Ask a composer if he likes unison, choirs, and symphonies. He'll pronounce your question an absurdity because there is no such thing as a symphony in unison. For a new tone, the composer is ready to introduce the most unexpected instrument. Just so in the formation of a group, be not astonished by an apparent diversity of the member. Not according to birth, nor habits, nor mistakes are we grouped. Their contact is in the spirit. They are united in a chorus of spirit, which is imponderable, invincible, and inaudible. Therefore, do not reproach anyone for the pitch of his voice. Its quality is what is important. It is joyous to realize that quality can always be improved if there is discipline of spirit. In creeds and law, treachery, slander, and revilement are condemned, but it is not adequately shown that these actions are essentially harmful. Hence, these censures have the appearance of prohibition, but any forbiddance is relative and unconvincing. When harm and usefulness are indicated, the entire nation must be explained. The harm of treachery, slander, and revilement can easily be shown in an ordinary example. Of course, the ultimate injury will not be to the betrayed, but to the betrayer. The entire world is divided among a boundary line between individual and general warfare. If we act within the sphere of the general warfare with certain, with sincere intentions, then in support of it, of us, stands the entire reservoir of cosmic accumulation. This chalice of the best achievements begins to act along an indivisible ray. Imagine it is this ray, way, rather. A candle filled with malice is trying to burn you. You have not yet taken any measures. But from behind you are there impractical power of torch. Perform this experiment and you will see how the candle gutters, chars, and goes out. It is not punishment, but a consequence of the law of nature. People will betray, slander, and revile the bearers of the common wheel, but not enviable is the fate of these characters of singing fires. Therefore, treachery, slander, and revilement are not practical. Therefore, think about revenge. Think not about revenge, for even the earth ancients effectively said, "Vengeance is mine," said the Lord, "and if the life of a traitor is an easy one." Likewise, in creeds and laws, theft has been spoken against. But again, this sounds like a prohibition, whereas it must be pointed out that theft is harmful as a concrete which augments the sense of personal ownership, and theft injures world evolution, and not inevitable is the lot of those who harm world evolution. They send themselves a long way backward. It is unimportant that some objects passes through our hands. But what is important is that two men will experience the onset of a sense of personal ownership. The law concerning theft is incomplete, because the practical thefts are those of knowledge and creative ideas, which cannot be guarded against. It will be abolished. Elimination of private property, private owned property. I don't know how to end tonight. I want to end there. because I have a tendency to be floating. And I'm not sure where else I can go with this. But just know that, I'll read these last few lines. The two signs of the authenticity of the teaching are, first, striving for the common weal. Second, acceptance of all previous teachings, which are congruous with the first sign. It must be noted that the primary form of a teaching does not contain negative postulates. But superstitious followers begin to fence in the covenants with negations and obstructing the good. Their results are ruminous formula. Our creed is the best, or we are the true believers, all others are infidels. From this point, it is a single trap to the Crusades, to the Inquisition, and to seize the blood in the name of those who condemned killing. There is no worse occupation than forcible imposition of one's creed. Whoever wishes to enforce use U.S.'s first contained all hope, which makes life beautiful, which manifests actions, which promote the truth. Creation life is not a market where one can make various bargain for entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Certainly life is not a grave where one trembles before the justice of an unknown judge. In keeping with one's opinion, scholars have proposed the ingenious consolidation. Man begins to die from the moment he's born. A scanty and American uniform, he will we'll use that in upcoming reports. But it's now about 3 minutes before the show ends, and I wanted to thank everybody who joined me tonight. And I want to thank everyone who might be getting something out of this show. And if you are, please respond in some way. It would be good to know that you are. In the meantime, I think I'll close down the program and wish you the best for the evening, and ask you to join us here again next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And for those of you who might like to enjoy themselves for a while and saying what I've written, then I guarantee you some of it's extremely entertaining, or so I've been told. Please go to the new lasteelshow.org website. Again, that's lasteelshow.org website. And I hope you have a good time there. And you'll be able to you'll be able to hear this program in archive and others, 700 other programs, actually. You'll be able to read all my writings since 2004, when I first started this website, and prior to 2004, actually. And, that's it. I want to thank everybody and wish you a very, very good evening.